Welcome to the podcast of New Creation Christian Center. I am Pastor Marquise Franklin, and I am excited that you would take the time to listen to our latest sermons and what God is doing in this ministry. New Creation Christian Center is in Seattle, led by Pastor Harold and Annis Franklin. And our statement is, come as you are and be transformed by the word of God, as stated in 2 Corinthians 5:17. Now, I don't know what you're going through, but I want you to be encouraged by the word of God that is going to be shared today. Check it out and share it with somebody that may need it. Now, let's get into this week's
Hallelujah.
Message.
Somebody say praise the Lord. Hallelujah. It's always a privilege and an honor to be in the house of God. I was talking with my dad earlier because he called me when he needs somebody to push his car. You know, he always calls me. But anyway, we were talking and I was like, man, I haven't preached in a long time. I was counting the time. I think I haven't preached in about a month. So I was like, hey, somebody asked me this week what I was preaching on, and I had to really think hard, like, what was I thinking preaching on? So I'm excited to be back here, and we're going to get into this message today. Amen. I'm going to just pray, and then we're going to talk about God's expectations. Heavenly Father, I just thank you to God for another opportunity to be in your house, God, to share your word. Dear God, I pray to God that today lives are impacted and touched, not by just by what I say, but by your spirit, oh God. I pray to God that you speak even beyond what I speak. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. We give your name all the glory. Amen and amen. Somebody say amen. All right. So last time I preached, I talked about serving God with our hearts, mind, body, and soul. And I got stirred up when we talked about the soul. I talked about your soul. Your soul is the very core of your being. That's what your excitement comes from. That's part of your soul. And I was talking about how we must serve God with our heart, right? The Bible says out of your heart, the mouth speaks. It also talks about the different things that are in our heart. So God has to be in control of our heart. Amen. I talked about our mind. Right. I stuck on our mind for a while because a lot of times our mind keeps us from praising and serving God. Our mind keeps us, from seeing who God is sometimes, because we have to we try to figure God out. Right. But we must allow our mind to be conformed to the word of God and not be conformed to this world. Amen. So we talked about that. We also talked about your heart, your mind, your body has to serve God. And then at last, like I said, your soul, everything within us. The Bible says, let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Amen. So it's our job to praise God. And this is what God expects, though. You know, has anybody ever went to a job? And when you got to the job, usually when you're going through your training, they tell you what they expect of you. Right? Or even if you're in the interview, they're going to tell you what we expect. We expect you, your job starts at 9 o'clock. They say, if you're here at 9 o'clock, you're what? You're late. Right now, I don't know how that works, but that's what they say. So they have expectations. They say, we don't want you here at 9 o'clock. We want you here at 8:45 or 8:55, right? Because they're setting in place expectations. All right, so when you get here, this is what your job is to do. You should do it like this. We're going to train you. They train you, and guess what? We allow them to train us if we have those jobs, right? Those are their expectations. Guess what? God's word gives expectations for how we should live, for how we should act in every circumstance. The Bible says that the word of God it says in 2 Timothy, it says that the word of God is useful for correcting, rebuking, and training us in righteousness, right? When I hear that word, that is also showing us what the word of God is going to do. It is teaching us how to become more like God desires. It is telling us God's expectations. So I said, we must serve God. Somebody say, we must serve God. We talked about that last time. Today, I'm going to hop on another thing that God expects us to do, and that is to share who he is. Amen? It is our job to share who God is with the world. And guess what? If we're not doing that, that is something that God is very upset about, because we are not doing what he expects. I don't know about you, but if you expect something to happen and it doesn't happen, you get upset, right? You ever expected a check to come in the mail and it didn't come? You ever expect your food to be ready when you get home and it's not there? You ever expect not to have traffic and there's traffic, right? You get upset because your expectations were not met. God has expectations for his people to share who he is. And I'm going to go to two passages today, and we're going to be done. But when I think about this, we just got done a couple of weeks ago. We went out on the block and just shared who Jesus was and invited people to church. But number one, I told people to share the gospel. Because guess what? Our church doesn't save people. God does. I'm not the savior. Jesus is. Amen. So if I share the gospel, not just some fancy words that I come up with, but the gospel that Jesus died for our sins. First of all, that we are all sinners in need of being saved. And what are we going to get saved from? From hell. But number one, being saved from being separated from God. Your sin separated you from God. Check this out. There was two young ladies that walked by and I said, do you guys want to know about the Savior that died to save you from your sin? And they said, no. Right. And I was like, OK, well, I'm going to tell you this. Until you know who God is, you're going to feel like there's something missing in your life. That's all I said. They started crying. That's all I said. Because there's power in that. Even though people would tell you they're not ready to hear it, there's power when you hear that God died to save you from your sin. And if you accept his son, you are free from the control of sin, and that control of sin leads to death. Jesus has come to set us free, as I always say, from sin and death. That's the power of the gospel. So it is our job to share the gospel. But guess what? Many times, if we don't practice sharing the gospel, we won't know if we're ready. Right? Now, we got the famous quote from Allen Iverson. He was at the podium one time and they were asking him a whole bunch of questions. And he was like, practice? Are you talking about practice? And he must have said it like 20 times. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Practice? Right? When he talked about that, the way he said it was like he didn't need practice. Right? Like, I got this all together. But I guarantee if we don't practice certain things, we'll see it begin to fall apart. That's right. Practice what you preach. Practice everything you do. I'm going to tell you this. One of the things as a football coach that we tell our kids is if you don't practice like you're ready for the game, when the game happens, you won't be ready. Your practice is preparation. Okay? Now, how do I prepare to share the gospel? Sometimes start with people next to you. And I'm going to tell you this. Once you do that and you start just going to random people, people are going to cuss you out because you're sharing the gospel. I've had it happen. Guess what? I expect it to happen at times. Why? Because that's not just them. That's the spirit of, the Bible calls that the spirit of the Antichrist, which is already in this world, which says that Jesus is not the Christ. How many of us know that that spirit is here? You know, some of us think of the Antichrist of just this big guy that's going to come and denounce Christ. But there is the spirit now where many denounce who Jesus is. But it's our job as a church to rise up and share who he is. Somebody tell your neighbor, share who he is. Come on, say it like you mean it. Share who he is. We're going to go to Matthew chapter 28, verse 16. Matthew chapter 28, verse 16. Let me pull this up. And when you got it, you can say amen. We're going to have it up on the screen in just a second as well. Matthew chapter 28, verse 16. Now, this is not the only time that Jesus sent them out. And when I say them, the disciples, this is not the only time he did this, but this was a crucial time because he's saying, I'm getting ready to leave, but I want to give you this message that you need to share. Let's go ahead and read it. It says, then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee to the mountain which Jesus had appointed for them. When they saw him, they worshiped him, but some doubted. All right? And I'm just going to say something right now. It's funny how even around worshipers, people will still doubt. That's why you can be in church and some people worship and other people look. Other people watch. There's spectators and there's worshipers. We've come to worship. That's what we come to the house of God for. And it says in verse 18, and Jesus came and spoke to them saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I've commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Amen. I'm going to read verse 18 through 20 again. It says, and Jesus came and spoke to them saying, all authority. Somebody say all has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Amen. And lo is not a word that we use now, at least in that context. But what he is saying, I'm going to be with you. Be assured that I am with you, right? So there's a couple of things I want to highlight in this thing. First of all, we have to understand that God has all authority, right? When you go and share the gospel, many a times I've been in this position myself where I share it and I want somebody to get saved like it's on me, right? Like if I don't do this, how come they're not? Guess what? It's not my authority. It's God's authority. We have to remember when we are sharing who God is, we share it. And some people are not going to get it the first time. Some people might not get it the second time. I don't know about you guys, but for some of us, it took a lot of times for us to hear about God before we decided to say, God, I need to surrender to you. Right? It wasn't just the first time and the light just came on and, oh, we got to realize that God is the God who opens eyes. But it's your job to still share. Even if it looks like somebody is blind, even if it looks like they don't get what you say, just keep on. Keep on planting seeds. The Bible says one waters, one plants, but God gets the increase. Amen. I don't know about you, but I've shared the gospel with some people and it didn't happen like I thought it was going to happen. And I know they felt the presence of God. I asked them, they're like, yes, I could feel God's presence. And I said, just invite him in and you can have him with you all the time. And they're like, no, it feels good. And I was like, man, no, listen, this is God. He's here. He wants to change and transform your life. They said no. But I know that seeds were planted. Now, I was frustrated. I was like, man, you're so close. And I don't know about you guys. When you see somebody getting close to a good thing, you're like, come on. Right? Don't go all the way and don't cross the finish line. Don't stop at the get there. But guess what? It's God's job. All authority is God's. Amen. And the great thing about God is he is willing. But I heard a lot of church people say that God and the Holy Spirit is a gentleman. He won't come in unless you invite him in. Amen. So we share it. It says go. It's the other one I want to highlight is go. Somebody say go. It's very important that we learn to go. Learn to go and share the gospel. Right? I've been in church my whole life. Right? I never was in the world. Thank God that I understood who he was at a young age and I had a personal relationship at a young age. But I've seen many times us as a church, and I'm going to include me, where many times we don't go outside and let people know who God is. We kind of get conformed to these nice buildings that we build, these nice houses that we get into, and we get settled in, and we get our we got a Sunday service. Oh, we got a Wednesday night Bible study. Oh, we got choir on. All right, man, we're going to go. And then we conform to just that pattern of Christianity when there's a dying world that needs the message that we have. And God said, go, but we sit. We get comfortable, right? And I'm just saying, I've done this too. I don't know about you, but if I don't share the gospel with people, I start to feel like I'm not even doing what God wants me to do, right? Have you ever asked yourself, when's the last time I shared the gospel with just one person, right? You should have those tests on yourself. God, help me share who you are. I remember there was a time I went to LA Fitness, and I was praying on the way. Not because I was scared to get in the gym, but, you know, I was just praying. And as I was praying, I was like, God, I want somebody to get saved today. God, as I'm here today, allow me to help lead somebody to you. Some of us got to pray those prayers. God, help me lead somebody to you today. Because the Bible says the harvest is plentiful, but what? The laborers are few. Meaning, there's many people that need to hear the message, but a lot of people are not sending the message. Right? It's like your cell phone got bad service. Nobody got the text. Right? We have to send the message, and we have to go. So when I got in the gym that day, I was just on the elliptical, just minding my business, still praying, under my breath praying, speaking in tongues, praying. Somebody came up to me that I knew back in the day. And, you know, he starts talking to me, and I got headphones in. So I'm like, man, he's really talking to me. Let me pull these headphones out. Let me hear what he's talking about. And as we start talking, the Spirit told me he's him. That's him. Share it with him. So I shared the gospel with him. And in the gym, he gave his life to God. Because I was willing to say, God, use me today. Right? It was a go. Now I'm going to tell you guys this. As we learn to go from day to day and share the message, many seeds are going to be planted. Many seeds are going to be watered. But God is going to get the increase. And guess what? We have to learn to share Jesus, not just that if you don't accept him, you're going to hell. Right? Because I'm going to say this. There's a lot of people today, they're not scared of hell. At least that's what they'll tell you. Right? Scaring people into salvation is not going to work. So, right, you could tell them about the wrath of God, right, which is going to be poured out. The Bible says the wrath of God will be poured out, but it also talks about the love of God, his grace and his mercy, right? I don't know about you, but as a parent, if I'm only whooping my kids and never telling them I'm loving them, or I'm over here and it's just bad, 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 they're not going to want that. They're going to be like, I had a horrible father. But if you learn to be like God, that's one thing I pray, God, as a father, I got 5 kids. Help me love them, but also help me train them up in righteousness. Help them love who I am, right?
We're just halfway through this sermon. But our prayer is that God is already speaking a dynamic word to you personally. But don't keep it to yourself. We need you to testify. We want to hear what God is doing. Give us a call or text us at 425-686-8197 to let us know what God is doing. If you're on Facebook, contact us at facebook.com/newcreationcc. Or on Twitter at New Creation WA. Now, let's tune in for the second half of this sermon.
My son, he's playing football, and boy, this has been one of the toughest tests ever. But I've been praying, and I was like, God, let me not put expectations on my son. Lord, you teach me what he's going to be. You show me what he's going to be. And this is his first year, so I had to take a few step backs on my expectations, right? But in doing that, I've had peace because I'm not trying to force something. I just say, God, you do it. You teach me, God, right? But back to the story, he gave his life to God because I went. And I'm telling you guys, God is not a respecter of persons. If you pray and say, God, use me today, help me transform somebody's life, he will use you. Amen? All you have to do is be willing to say, God, use me. Verse 19, once again, it says, go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations. I thank God that when it talks about race in the Bible, it says all nations. It doesn't just say one nation. It doesn't just say one color of skin. It says, share the gospel with all nations, right? Baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, the triune God. And then you can break that down. And I'm going to tell you guys this. When somebody first gets saved, they don't know all the Bible, right? So even explaining the Trinity to them may be a little bit too deep right now. But if you just explain who the Son is, right, and why he was sent by God, then you can start teaching them. And then it says after that, after they have been baptized, after they accepted him, verse 20 says, teaching them to observe all things, somebody say all things, that I have commanded you. It is our job not just to help go and share the gospel, but to teach them the word of God. Right? That's why we come to church. That's why we should go to church. For those that go to church and they're not getting taught, we have to teach them what his word says. Now, here goes my Uber story. You guys know I always got an Uber story. This week, last week, I was driving a brother and I don't know how we figured. This is how it happens. Like Pastor John, I don't know if you guys know, Pastor John, he does Uber too. So he's like, man, when they ask me what I do, I get to tell them everything. So they ask me what you do outside of Uber. I'd be like, man, I'm a father. I'm a husband, a father, five kids. And they're like, ooh. You know, anytime you say five kids, they're like, yo, he, wow. And then I say, man, I'm a pastor. I do podcasts. I'm an artist, minister. You know, I start telling them all these kind of things. And then they start asking questions about what I do. Oh, what kind of church do you go to? Yeah, I go to church too. And this particular person, I picked him up, and he was like, I just moved out here like 2 weeks ago, and I'm trying to find a good church. So he's like, tell me what you believe at your church. And I said, listen, man, one thing we believe at our church is that the Bible has authority, not us, not our words. I said, I'm not going to preach a sermon and then look for a scripture to back up what I want to preach. I'm going to look at the scripture and back up what God's word says. God's word has final authority. And I said, if I read something in God's word and I didn't agree with it, right, then I must learn to conform to what it says. I asked God, help me understand that and help me apply that in my life. Now, unfortunately, in a lot of churches, people will look at a certain scripture and be like, hey, we don't need that. Nah, that's too much, God. That must have been for the old school days, right? That must have been for those people back in the... No, look, we read the word and we say, God, okay, Lord, first of all, Lord, help me understand it. But not only that, the Bible says we cannot just be readers or hearers of the word, but we must be doers of the word, right? This is stuff that we must teach. After they give their life to God, we teach them to be a doer of the word of God, which means I read it. And the Bible says if we read it and we don't do it, it's like somebody that goes into a mirror and looks at it. And then when they leave, they forget who they are. They go back in the mirror like, who's that? Right? Oh, that's me. Walk away again. Who is that? Why? Because they haven't applied the word of God. Many people, especially in today's age, we have so much. I can say it like this. We have an exhaustive amount of knowledge, but we don't apply it. Right? We live in a day and age right now where there's probably more wise sayings, wise thoughts than ever. It's easier to get a Bible than ever. It's easier to get a book than ever, right? You don't even have to read books no more. You can get audio books, right? We live in a day and age where it's so easy to get educated, but people don't decide to get educated. Or they look at the information and they say, I can go without that. right? But my dad said one thing, man, and I always talk about this. When people read the dictionary, they don't question the dictionary. If it says, what is the edge? The edge is the end of something, right? If that's what it says in the dictionary, they're like, okay, that's what it says. But when we read the Bible, we should look at it like a dictionary. This thing that's the Bible, when it says it, okay, wow, okay, that's good. We shouldn't be like, man, we need to change this thing. This ain't Wikipedia, right? Wikipedia, you could change. God's word remains the same. Amen? All right, we're going to go to one more chapter. Many times Jesus sent his disciples out. We're going to go to Mark chapter 6. And when we look at this, this is even before Jesus is crucified. He sends out the 12. All right, so one of the things that Jesus did was he prepared them even before he was crucified to know how to live this thing. Right? We're talking about we must share who God is. Jesus showed the disciples who he is, and he said, go, share with the world who I am. All right? Let's go to Mark chapter 6, verse 7. Mark chapter 6, verse 7. And it says, and he called the 12 to himself and began to send them out two by two and gave them power over unclean spirits. He commanded them to take nothing for their journey except a staff, no bag, no bread, no copper in their money belts, but to wear sandals and not to put on two tunics. And he said to them, in whatever place you enter a house, stay there until you depart from a place. And whoever will not receive you nor hear you when you depart from there, shake off the dust under your feet as a testimony against them. Assuredly, I say, it will be more tolerable for Sodom and Gomorrah in the day of judgment than for that city. So they went out and preached that people should repent. And they cast out many demons and anointed with oil many who were sick and healed them, right? So Jesus gave them authority to do these things. Part of sharing who God is, catch this, everybody. Part of sharing who God is as a believer, the Bible says, if you are a follower of Christ, signs and wonders should follow. Right? Has anybody prayed for somebody and seen somebody get healed? Have you prayed for somebody and lives are transformed? Right? If not, and if it hasn't happened in a while, it's our job to begin to believe. I said in Matthew, and actually the word of God said in Matthew, that all authority has been given unto you by God himself, right? So when we go out, we should pray for these people. Now, I'm going to tell you this. Most of the time that I pray for people and they have been healed, it's been outside of the church. Interestingly, right? That's very interesting to me. I even think about that like, wow, most of the time I pray for some people, they were healed, but they weren't in the church. Why? Because I'm doing what God told me to do by going out. Right? By praying and believing in God doing miracles, it transforms people's lives to the point where they're like, there's something right there. There's power right there. I see what God is doing. Check it out. I got a story. When we were at the Puyallup Fair, we used to have a booth by the 7-Eleven right in front of the Puyallup Fair. And there was a guy who would drive by in his, what's it called, a wheelchair. He had a nice fancy wheelchair. And he would drive by. It was pretty fast, too. He would drive by every day. And we would go, when we got to the Puyallup Fair, we would be there for every day of the Puyallup Fair. So I was in the car with Chaimin, and as we were driving to the fair, I was like, man, I'm going to pray for that guy. I just feel like, look, I'm going to do it, bro. Let's believe, and I'm going to tell you this. This is why you need other believers around you. Let's believe that he's going to get healed and walk out that chair, right? So we're like, yeah, when we see him, we're praying for him on sight, right? We're going to pray for this dude when he drives by. So he drives by, and I say, Che, let's go. So we pray for them, right? We start praying, and we're just praying for God to, first of all, one of my first prayers is that God reveals himself to people. And usually I say it like this: God, reveal yourself to us so that I don't make myself look better than them, right? Because as a Christian, I'm still saying, God, reveal yourself to me. God, I still need to know who you are on a deeper level. That's why I say that. God, reveal yourself to us. And as we're praying, this guy starts saying, oh, he starts yelling like, oh, right? And he's not a believer at all, but he's like, my hairs are standing straight up. Oh, my good. Like, he feels the power of God. Now, we were praying that hopefully he would get out the wheelchair, but he didn't, right? But he went into the store, the 7-Eleven, and told everybody, man, they prayed for me, and look, my hairs is, there's power when they pray. And guess what happened? Other people started coming out the store and said, can you pray for me? Right? Because we were willing to pray for this one man, God allowed other people to say, can you pray for me? And guess what? There was people that didn't even believe in Jesus, but they say there's power when you guys pray. Can you pray for me? Guess what? When you go, people will see the power. Right? So in doing that, one of the owners of the 7-Eleven, his daughter came, and like I said, they didn't believe in God, but they said, can you really pray for me? I'm getting ready to go to school, and I've heard about you guys. And when we don't go there, they follow us on Facebook and be like, man, it's not the same when you guys ain't here. We need the presence of God back here. Can you guys come back? You know, and unfortunately, I can't do that stuff now. But when I look at being obedient and praying for people that don't know who God is, especially, God shows up. Because how many of you guys know that God wants to reveal himself to people? That's God's desire. The Bible says that he is willing that no one perish. He's willing that no one will perish, but many people perish because they reject him. But we just got to keep on sharing him. Keep on sharing him. It says, so they went out and preached that people should repent. Repentance is still part of the message. Matter of fact, without repentance, we don't have the gospel. The gospel is Jesus died and rose, and we accept him. And as we accept him, we say, "We forgive us, God, for everything we've done wrong." Right? Forgive us for everything we've done wrong. And help us be like you. Right? Now, when you truly repent all the things you've done wrong, you should not desire them anymore. And there's going to be a test. Guess what? Somebody say a test. There's always a test. When you follow God, there's going to be a test to see if you're really about this or you're about that. Are you really going to follow God's word, or are you going to follow your desires? Many times it comes in that form. Who are you going to follow more, you or God? And us, ourselves, leads us into many times where we need to repent again, right? Because guess what? We live in the flesh. We live in a fallen world. That's why we have all the things that are going on now. This is a fallen world, and as my dad said, the world needs to be redeemed. Do we know that when Jesus comes back, he's going to create a new heaven and a new earth? Right? All things are going to pass away. And as the word of God says about us, behold, he's going to make us new, but he's going to make a new heaven and a new earth and a new Jerusalem. Right? That's what God's going to do. Because we have fallen. But it's our job. God is expecting us to share who he is, to share his word, and to share who he is. And when we do that, when we are obedient and we do what God wants, God is pleased. Amen? It's that simple. When we do what God wants, God will be pleased. And I don't know about you, But one of the biggest things for me is to make God happy. As a Christian, I say, God, may my life bring you joy. The Bible says at the end, he's going to either say, depart from me, you worker of iniquity, or he's going to say, well done, my good and faithful servant. Right? Those are two things he's going to say to people. And I just want to hear him say, well done. So I say, God, today, tomorrow, for the rest of my life, may I please you. Let's do what God expects us to do. Amen. Heavenly Father, I thank you to God for your word. I pray to God that you would continue to speak even beyond what I spoke today, God. Let your spirit touch, oh God. Let your spirit change, oh God. Let your spirit move in our lives. Dear God, I pray that the word of God will touch our hearts, our minds, and our spirits, oh God. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray to God that we be obedient to your word, that we share who you are. Dear God, that we begin to pray and expect miracles, expect when we pray to God, things that happen. And number one, that we plant and water seeds and let you get the increase, oh God. Dear God, I thank you, God, for your word. We give your name the praise, honor, and glory. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. And everybody said, amen, amen. Now, that was impactful to you. You guys know the drill. That was impactful to you. Slip your hand up, right? Slip your hand up. When I say that, now you have something that you are accountable to, right? But more than that, I want you guys to walk in what God has for you. Amen? Start thinking, how can I be more and more what God wants? I don't care where you are right now. God is willing and God wants you to continue to step closer. Check it out. I don't care if you're 90 years old, 100 years old, and you're still like, I don't got nothing left. If you're still here, God got something for you. Right? One of the most powerful ladies of God that I know, Mother Mullen, she was, I don't know how old she was, but she was 90, around 90, and she was always preaching the gospel at 90. She would be at the store. Come here, son. Do you know about Jesus? Right? And they just sit there and talk. I'm talking about a 90-year-old lady that said, I'm not done yet. While I'm still here, I'm going to spread that message. There got to be something inside of you that gets you excited about that. One more last thing I'm going to share, and then we're going to get out of here because I'm going in. But right now, there was a scripture that came to my heart and my mind. It was when Jesus was sharing who he was with the woman at the well, right? Before all that happened, the disciples said, hey, they were sent away because Jesus said, I need something to eat. So he starts sharing with this woman who he is, who the Savior is, how to worship God. She gets transformed. She goes, tells the people. She comes back, and he's still telling her. And when the disciples come back, they're like, man, we got this food, Jesus. You want this food? He's like, no, I'm good. He said, because my food is to do the will of God. My desire is to do the will of God. And I don't know about you, when you do things for God or when you're just excited about just things in general, you don't even have to eat. If you do something you really enjoy doing, Brother Philip, I bet you can play your music all day, right? You still be hungry, but your hunger is drove away by something else. But it should be like that with the gospel. When we do the work of God, it should fuel us to the point where, man, I don't even need to eat right now because I have strength coming from God being pleased. Amen.
We thank you for listening to today's sermon, and we pray that you are impacted to become the new creation that God desires. We at New Creation Christian Center invite you to come join us for service Saturday at 7 p.m. or Sunday at 11 a.m. located at 5150 South Cloverdale Street, Seattle, Washington. Also, feel free to visit us online at newcreationwa.org. New Creation Christian Center, the path to genuine life, where you can come as you are and be transformed by the Word of God.